in the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Translation, please repeat. In the course of the evolutionary process,
in the course of the evolutionary process,
which is caused by fruitive activities, due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation,
to the lower species,
or to rebirth among human beings. Purport. All living entities within this material world are undergoing the cycle of birth and death according to the laws of nature. This struggle of birth and death in different species may be called the evolutionary process, but in the Western world it has been wrongly explained. Darwin's theory of evolution from animal to man is incomplete because the theory does not present the reverse condition, namely evolution from man to animal. In this verse, however, evolution has been very well explained on the strength of Vedic authority. Human life, which is obtained in the course of the evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation, svarga paravarga, or for degradation, tiras champuna asyata. If one uses this human form of life properly, he can elevate himself to the higher planetary systems where material happiness is many thousands of times better than on this planet, or one may cultivate knowledge by which to become free from the evolutionary process and be reinstated in one's original spiritual life. This is called aparvarga, or liberation. Material life is called paravarga because here we are subject to five different states of suffering, represented by the letters pa, pa, ba, pa, and ma. Pa means parisrama, very hard labor. Pa means pina, or foam from the mouth. For example, sometimes we see a horse foaming at the mouth with heavy labor. Ba means vyatarta, disappointment. In spite of so much hard labor, at the end we find disappointment. Pa means bhaya, or fear. In material life, one is always in the blazing fire of fear, since no one knows what will happen next. Finally, ma means mrityu, or death. When one attempts to nullify these five different statuses of life, pa, bha, ba, bha, and ma, one achieves aparvarga, or liberation from the punishment of material existence. The word tirascham refers to degraded life. Human life, of course, provides an opportunity for the best living conditions. As Western people think, from the monkeys come the human beings, who are more comfortably situated. However, one does not utilize human life as svarga or aparvarga, he falls again to the degraded life of animals like dogs and hogs. Therefore, a sane human being must consider whether he will elevate himself to the higher planets, prepared to free himself from the evolutionary process, or travel again through the evolutionary process in higher and lower grades of life. One works piously, one may be elevated to higher planetary systems, or achieve liberation and return home back to Godhead. But otherwise, one may be degraded to a life as a dog or a hog, and so on. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vita Divan, those interested in being elevated to the higher planetary systems, Devaloka or Svargaloka, must prepare to do so. Similarly, if one wants liberation, wants to return home back to Godhead, he should prepare himself for that purpose. Our Krishna conscious movement is therefore the highest movement for the benediction of human society, because this movement teaching people how to go back home back to Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 13.22, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association with three modes of material nature. Karanam gunasango syat sat asadyan janasu. According to one's association with material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in this life, in one's next life, one receives an appropriate body. Modern civilization does not know that because of varied association in material nature, the living entity, although eternal, is placed in different disease conditions known as the many species of life. Modern civilization is unaware of the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kandisarvishap. Hankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the performer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Every living entity is under the full control of the stringent laws of material nature, but rascals think themselves independent. Actually, however, they cannot be independent. This is foolishness. A foolish civilization is extremely risky. And therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make people aware of their fully dependent condition under the stringent laws of nature, and is trying to save them from being victimized by strong Maya, which is Krishna's external energy. Behind the material laws is the supreme control of Krishna, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Therefore, if one surrenders under Krishna, Mam Evaya Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite, one may immediately be free from the control of external nature. Sagunan Asamatityaitan Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. This should be the aim of life. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. So, We see here the very full explanation of Narad Muni, and also the very comprehensive explanation of Srila Prabhupada as far as our position in the world and the process of evolution for the living entities. Here it is said, Yadrichaya, that all of us are carried by the waves of material nature. And especially, Prabhupada mentions that Karanam Gunasangosya Sat Asabhyan Jansu. The waves of material nature coming in the form of the three modes of material nature. Kama, guna, sangha. Three modes of material nature are acting upon all living entities, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and causing each one of us to act in various ways and to go in various species of life, to evolve. Actually, the living entity stays the same always. Eternal. Doesn't change. It's only the bodies, the external bodies, that change. And as I said, these changes come about due to the pushing of the gunas, the three modes, good, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness. Bodies are acting, the different bodies are acting under the jurisdiction more of the mode of ignorance, or more of the jurisdiction of the mode of passion, or more in the mode of goodness. For example, there are some species of life completely acting, nothing is completely acting in the material world. There's always a mix of ignorance and passion and goodness, but predominantly, you know, some species are more in the mode of ignorance. And others are more passionate. That's like the tiger, the lion is very, very passionate. Mode of passion. But generally the lower species of life are predominantly under the mode of ignorance. It is said the human beings are predominantly under the mode of passion. Very, very passionate. And the demigods, they are mainly under the mode of goodness. So there's those general categories, but within those categories there are subcategories, because as I said, the modes are always mixing with one another and affecting the living entity, and this is all coming about due to our desires and the reactions to our desires and reactions to our activities based on our desires and so on and so forth. So the whole thing becomes very complicated as far as we're concerned. But as far as our eternal nature, spiritual nature, then everything is very simple. As far as our connection to Krishna and ourselves as spirit souls and that relationship, everything is a beautifully simple, very natural, and very blissful. But we are put in a position that we forget all that. And we go from one condition to another condition, pushed by these three gunas, the waves, continuously coming, just like waves always continuously come. You can't stop waves. It's just the nature of the ocean, isn't it? Ocean will have waves. So the nature of the material world is it has waves and always coming, always coming. There's never a peaceful situation. Waves always come. So one has to be intelligent enough to understand all this. And here Prabhupada says, therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Consciousness Movement, which is presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a great benediction for human society because it is teaching people how to understand themselves and Krishna, how to go back home, back to Godhead. This evolution that is talked about here, the evolution of the soul, ultimately it is meant to culminate in going back home, back to Godhead. But if the evolution gets interrupted by our various desires and we again regress, here Prabhupada says the evolutionary process that is presented in the Western world in the Darwin's theory, how one evolves from the animal to the man, is incomplete because it doesn't present the reverse condition, namely going back down from man to the animal. It's not that we are the man or we are the animal, we are the soul, but our bodies may be changed like that. And so in this way we don't fully agree. There is a concept of evolution that is explained here by Narad Muni and by Srila Prabhupada. But the model that is presented in the Western world is not acceptable to the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada was very strong on this point. We see that Prabhupada wanted to really help people in a true and meaningful way spiritually. But unfortunately, society has come to a situation where, especially in the Kali Yuga, where it's very, very materialistic. So when society is very, very materialistic, it's very difficult for society to understand what is the spiritual objective. So Prabhupada, I was just reading the other day, where he was saying that the society needs a total overhaul. A total overhaul. You know, he actually wanted, if you go to Vrindavan, you'll see in the glass cabinet, that, in his little diary there, he says, Indira Gandhi, Queen Mother, Sanjay, her son, King. Prabhupada had the idea. He wanted the monarchy. He wanted monarchy. If someone was there already, then they could become like the king, or they could become like the Queen Mother, or something like that. Or if that, you know, the monarchy couldn't be achieved, then, you know, at least if there was the president or the prime minister, they should become the God-conscious people. But foremost, he wanted the monarchy. Monarchy is the ancient Vedic system. But the king had to be like the Raja. He had to be the Raj Rishi. He had to be a godly person, not just the Raja. He had to be the Raj Rishi. Rishi means a great saintly person. But Prabhupada wanted like that. And when he traveled around the world, He would always say, I want to bring me the leaders of the society. Who are the leaders of your society here? It was like in Perth, he came to Perth, he would meet various people, and he came to Melbourne, Sydney. You know, he asked the devotees to please invite leaders in various fields, whether in academics or even religionists, politicians. He wanted to especially impress upon them the necessity for a God-conscious society, and especially the ancient monarchical system. And if it, you know, and many some because Prabhupada travelled to many countries around the world, and he used to say that perhaps in your country this will be the first Krishna-conscious country, first truly God-conscious. You know, he went to Mauritius and he said like that, met the Prime Minister. Why don't you make this country? So if immediately it couldn't be accepted in the big countries like America, and a little country at least. Little country. Mauritius, make the little country, then show the world the example that perhaps they would be seeing. Today there's a monarchy, you know, you have queens and kings, but most countries they're nominal heads, they're not actually ruling in government and so on and so forth. Some kind of, maybe some Arab, Saudi Arabia, they have the royal family, the king and his brothers, the ministers, they actually rule. Brunei, the Sultan of Brunei, his brother and so on, and they actually rule. They make up the government. But in most countries, as I said, it's mainly the heads of state, and they're not actually involved in government. But Prabhupada wanted that it would be like the government, monarchical. And then they had the Brahmins, advisors. Brahmin advisors, advising the kings. Although the kings were well versed in the Shastras and spiritually inclined, like rishis themselves, still they would have the Brahmin advisors, and the Vaishyas would be working in the Sudras. And I think this particular section of the Bhagavatam deals with all the different classes of society, and Narada Muni explains them, of course, to the ancient model. Maybe it has to be some adjustment for the modern day. But Prabhupada wanted like that, and he didn't shy away from presenting this. He was very forceful in his presentation. At least if a few would understand and accept it. And then he saw like that this should be the model. Then he saw that there were a few obstacles. There are a few obstacles to that. Impersonalism, for example. The Mayavadi philosophy that, you know, we're all one and we're all God. And this was a barrier to understand the position, the true position of ourselves, and the true position of Krishna. This is another type of illusion, actually. It's not a material illusion, but it's another illusion. To think that you are, you are yourself. Why you are looking for God elsewhere? You are yourself God. Now, this is very appealing, of course. Many people who have got the ego, the false ego. Oh, yes. I am also God. I am so a big man in the world. Plus, on top of that, I am actually God. And we're all God. And of course, they may not like that we're all God. I only want to be God. Which is really the deep-seated mentality in many people. But this philosophy is hampering our true understanding. So Prabhupada would speak very rigorously against this idea. And the other great obstacle was the materialistic scientists. Prabhupada, you could see, had a plan. He wanted a certain social overhaul, means God-conscious society, means monarchy, Brahmins, everyone. But there were certain impediments to that. The leaders had to accept, the mass of people had to accept. So he had these various programs. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, how Prabhupada had his vision. And he would would concentrate. And see, his presentation was with all these things in mind. And he would very much try to preach on these levels against the impersonalism and against the materialistic concept. The materialistic scientists, we're not against the God-conscious scientists, but the materialistic scientists who present that life comes from matter. This was also another block to actually truly becoming God-conscious. Prabhupada would criticize how they can say that the life comes from matter. Life comes from life. A book like that? I think Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wrote a book. Life comes from life. Life comes from life, not from a matter. Matter is actually created by life, ultimately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these concepts presented here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, presented by the Acharyas, very interestingly, Prabhupada talks about the Svarga Pavarga. How the human life that we have now is obtained in the due course of the evolutionary process. And there's a chance for elevation, he says. The chance for elevation. Generally, in the other species, especially the lower species, there's not that much chance for elevation. It's a natural. There is a kind of a natural. They call it natural selection, don't they? Natural selection. But there is a natural selection, but it's not like how people think of it these days in this concept of evolution and natural selection presented by Darwin. And the natural selection is in the lower species of life, you know, the living entity just automatically moves from one body, a species of life, to another. As the living entity finishes in one body, then by nature's arrangement, another one is selected and the living entity moves. This is like automatic. But when one comes to the human form, then there's a situation presented that you have got some sort of control over your future destiny. Some, not great control, but some measure of control. No one has completely got unlimited control. That is Krishna. He's got unlimited control. We never have unlimited control. And then and Prabhupada mentions here that the Bhagavatam is presenting the fact that we are never independent, especially in the material world. We are under the stringent laws of how the material nature works. You see, we are in material life. It is called parvarga, because we are subjected to five different states of suffering, and no one can escape. No one can escape that condition. One is under the stringent laws of material nature. It is working under my direction, Krishna says, and is meant for a certain purpose. But people thinking they're free, although in so many cases we are dependent and we have to follow the order of someone else. When we go to work, there's always our superior who says, do this, do that, do the other thing, right? But the thing is that when we think, especially human beings suffer from this, they think as soon as there is a choice, they think they've got a choice, and then they think they're free. They don't want to accept any authority. But generally, when they hear about spiritual life, they think they've got a choice to accept authority or not accept authority, and they think that I won't accept any authority. I'll just make the spiritual life happen myself. I'll bring it out. Although, we see in material life, you have to follow all the time. When you go to school, follow the teacher, university, you have to follow the authority. Work, you can't go to work and just do whatever you want. The boss says, do like this, do like that, do like the other thing. You can't say, no, I'm not going to do it. Then out you go. You don't want to do it, fine. go and not do it over here. but don't not do it here, right? Out you go. So in the work, in the school, even in the home, the children, they have to follow what the parents say. They might think that, no, I'm not going to do it, but there's all sorts of trouble. So we are completely dependent. Even our bodies, we get completely dependent upon the arrangement made by material nature. Every one of us has to, as I was just saying, has to situated in this parvarga. Parvarga means subject five, and here it is proper, explains it very nicely. You know, parvarga is made up of the five letters, pa, pa, ba, bha, and ma. Isn't that right, Siddharth? Mm-hmm. Did you know that before? You heard it before. So, what does the pa mean without looking? Hard work. You're just looking, huh? The very hard labour. Who can avoid this? Who can avoid the very hard labour? Parisrama. You know. Actually, I was just reading the other day that that people now, compared to 20 years ago, something like 80% of the population work more than 100% work more than 45 hours a week. 100% extra than what it was 20 years ago even. You know, I remember when I was growing up, there was the big push, you know, there was the ideal society, the unions were all pushing for the, you know, they started on the 45 hour, I can't remember, they wanted the 40 hour week. Those people only work 40 hour week. Then they went for the 38 hour week or something like that. The 38 hour week, you know, the unions like that. You know, if you were employed, you're in the union, they pushed. I think they won that. But now, you know, now they got like, you know, the employers are so tricky, they have all this sort of contract work and casual work. So they don't have to subscribe to any of that. You know, you got this holiday, you don't have to have the holiday thing and the holiday loading and all this type of union stuff that they introduced years and years ago, you know, for the betterment of the worker. But now everything is, of course, has changed, isn't it? The holiday and the holiday, and then the workers' compensation and the superannuation, you know. So all these things that employers have to pay, you know, most people don't get these, because a lot of the population is on casual or is on contract. You know, you've got a contract. It's quite common in I don't know, over here, I guess, too, but, you know, in Sydney and Melbourne, you know, I've been on so many people, they're just on contract, and then 6 months is up, back here, that's it. You know, thank you very much. Bye-bye. So you don't get, when you're on contract, you don't get, you know, I guess you get some benefits, but you don't get all these other things that they worked very hard for, the unions worked very hard for 30 years ago. So people, they just can't avoid this hard labour. And here Popeye goes on to say, the pa means peanut, means the so hard labour that you're foaming from the mouth, like a horse. When you work a horse, it foams, it sweats like anything. It's like I remember a long time ago, we went riding at New Govardhan, and one devotee had to chastise him because he went galloping on ahead of us, galloping up, and he galloped right up the hill, 100 miles an hour, we couldn't believe it. Well, by the time we all got back up there, the horse was, poor thing, thought it was going to die. I said, what are you doing? You're crazy. You can't just ride a horse so hard like that up the hill. And it was foaming, and foaming from the mouth. And I said, get off that horse, you rascal. Poor thing. You walk the horse the rest of the way. So, you know, the people are whipped like that. They're whipped like that to work. And I was just talking to a devotee who's working, and he was saying that, oh, they're always asking me, oh, can you work late and 6 days, 7 days a week? Quite often, you know, it's just like we were looking for a new car, and I noticed all the car yards now, they're all open 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. They're still in there, the car yard guys. You know, you walk past and they come out and get you. Isn't it right? In fact, they walk along the footpath and they come and drag you off the footpath into their car yards. Hard sell, 8, 9 o'clock at night. You know? So these days, and then the one person family, you know, like the one person, you know, the one person gets the income, now it has to be the two people. The two people have to get the income. One's not enough anymore because everything's so high You know, not everything costs so much. You get more money. Okay, they push to get more money for the workers, but then, you know, the unfortunate thing is everything comes up. The conference say, oh, we won the award of getting more money, and then everyone else just takes their price up to compensate that and to pay so much extra. So that's life. You know, what was that famous saying by that Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser? That life wasn't meant to be easy. You know, and everyone was saying, you rascal, you're supposed to be making it easy. You say that, why, life wasn't meant to be easy. There were people complaining about the economy and this and that, and he just said, oh, well, life wasn't meant to be easy. No, but it's a fact. Life in the material world is not easy. He's right, absolutely right. And here, it is mentioned here in the Shastras, the pa. Hard labour, and so hard, foaming at the mouth hard. That's how hard it is. You know, all late nights and shifts and all sorts of stuff. And ba means ba means biatpa. Means disappointment. Very good. You all got your bugger tums here. Everyone's reading, eh? Can't catch anyone out around here. Hey, little scholars. Hey? So here it is said, what does it mean, disappointment? Even though you work hard, and who can deny any of this, right? It's so true. It's so true, right? You know, you work hard, but practically foaming at the mouth, and you're still disappointed. Not getting enough, or there's so many. You know, I was just talking to a devotee in Sydney, and he was saying that. So the society is just so, especially he's living in Sydney, so it's just so expensive. He said everything, not only you have to pay, you know, with this, he had a business, he said there's GST now, I have to pay extra. He said not only that, we've got the rates have gone up, electricity, everything's gone up. Electricity's gone up, the gas is going up, and, you have to, and then you drive along the street, and all these police are out with their little radar guns, he said. In the suburbs, right? In the inner suburbs, they're out there. You see them around the temple in Sydney, you know, then someone goes like 8 km over the speed limit, boom, $150, right? $150. And the parking tickets now, like in, I don't know what they are here, but in Sydney they're like $130. And the parking guys are working 24 hours a day in the inner city there. 24 hours a day, they're out there at midnight. Booking the cars, right? He said, you just can't. How do you get ahead here? You just can't. You know, so people think, oh, this country, so they have all these offshore investments. I'm going to take my money out, invest it somewhere else. But then they get ripped off over there too because some shonky dealer comes along. So you don't get the money back or whatever. Right? So it's just a hard place, isn't it, the material world? You know, to look after your family. You know, the kids want to go for a little bit of a, you know, who was telling me, the buddy was telling me he took his kids. Daddy, daddy, we want ice cream. Right? And they had to take all the kids for the ice cream. And then he said, like, $30 later. $30 later, then everyone had the ice cream. Right? You know, daddy, daddy, we want to go to the SeaWorld. Right? And he was up in the Golden. We want to go to SeaWorld. So $200 later, everyone, we had to think we could take the family to the SeaWorld. You know, because it cost $50 or $60 to get in. You know, and it's like, you know, there were like six in the family or something. You know, the kids were less, but, you know, six in the family, and then they want the ice cream, and they want the lemonade, and they want... And he said, it's just so difficult just to do anything. And you go to drive somewhere, and then the petrol costs $1 a litre. You drive down the road a little, you have to put more petrol in. And the registration, and this devotee from Sydney, just think about it. The registration, insurance, see what the rates... The parking fines, the speeding fines, and the tax. You can really see in the Bhagavatam, it's just like, oh, people want to, it says in the 10th and the 12th canon that people just want to go and live in the forest, and live in the jungle and get away from everything. They go bury all their money so they, you know, people don't know it's there. Just like in India, it's very, very popular to do like that. They say in the Rajasthani desert, that you can, you know, people go out there with the metal detectors, you know, trying to get other people who have buried their money, right? So there's all these people out there, you know. So then, you know, if you, with all, on top of all this, then you go away for a night out and you come back and your house has been broken into and everything's been stolen. Someone was just telling me, they just went to the auctions, they bought a car, they parked it outside their house, they went inside, it came back out, was gone. Someone had stolen it in the space of an hour. He said he couldn't believe it. He said he didn't even have it insured yet. I go, "Ooh, you're in big trouble now." He said he just couldn't believe it. You know, so on top of all that, all this stuff, it's so hard, you know, the mothers and the fathers are pulling out their hair, they're crying. Disappointment. Yeah, isn't it? Disappointment. Ba means batata. Disappointment. Oh, well, after even working hard, we've still got no money. Right? We want to buy the house, we want to buy the this, we want to buy that, we want to... Forget about it. It's all the karma anyway, isn't it? The karma, someone, you know, if someone's a multi-billionaire overnight practically, you know, and someone else works hard, they get nothing. It's like all these people who came in on the forefront of the computer technology revolution. Now they're gazillionaires now, right? You know, one person's living in the stratosphere, and the other person is just grovelling around trying to make a few bucks, right? So very imbalanced. The material world is like that. And everyone, you know, resentful, disappointed. Ba means fear. Now, here, Prabhupada defines fear as that, you know, all this is going on, you're in anxiety, and you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, we've 1 week to the next. Where's the money coming from? Now, how can I put the children through in the school, all this, the clothes, you know. Another Grihastha was telling me, you know, he said, "I'm not so bad because I got, you know, 5 kids in a row." So, you know, one shoe goes down to the next one. You know, because the kids are always growing up, so they have one shoe and then 6 months later it doesn't fit them. "Oh, Daddy, this shoe doesn't fit me anymore." Right, so then you've got to buy another size. Another clothes. As I was saying, the fear. What's going to happen next? Will I have my job? This is quite common now. Will I have my job next week? Isn't it? I mean, when I was growing up, the generations before me, they always had their jobs. It was a big shock for anyone to lose their job. Just like in Japan in the last 5 years or so. People committing suicide because, you know, the Japanese workers were just, you know, they got their education, they went and worked for a company, and they worked for that company for their whole life. The whole life, and the company would look after them, whatever they needed, you know, they were given facility. But, you know, in the last 5 years or so, they had this downturn in the economy. Many of those huge companies went broke, went bankrupt. They lost their, and the people couldn't relate to it. I remember my, you know, a friend of mine, his father was just in a state of shock. When they lose their job? Redundant. He was redundant. Retrenched. Well, he'd been retrenched after he'd been working for that company for 25 years. 25 years. He was in the shock. What's going to happen now? And then you've got situations where another, you know, family in Canberra was telling me that their friend of theirs is that he couldn't believe it. That, you know, someone's working for the government and some people are like that. They lose their work, and other people, you know, this person was working for some particular federal department for 20 years, something like that, was retrenched and then given so much pay, got $400,000 payout. And then 1 year later they rehired him in another department. So they're thinking, what is this? You know, something, you know, like the ordinary person has to suffer so much, but these people working in the government... I was just reading that Australia has got the number one per capita, it says, as far as people working for the government, It's like 49% of the population of the workforce works for the government or government-related industry. 49%, number one in the world. Number one. And the closest, nearest is England, and that's a way second. That's like 27%. 27%. I think in India they have like 15% of their working for the government or something like that. Australia has 49%. How is it sustainable? Many people say, how is it sustainable? But what happens is that, you know, these people, they have to come up with newer and newer taxes to support this huge bureaucracy. And then, you know, the little guy gets squeezed on in the form of taxes and stuff, and they just can't do it. So they either go away to another country or they give up and you know, if you can't beat them, join them, right? Can't beat them, join them, the philosophy, right? Or I'll go into government too then, right? If that's the case, I'll just, why worry about just trying to make a living? I'll just join the government forces and, you know, after 20 years you get $400,000 pay and they just rehire you and away you go again. So life is like that. As Malcolm Fraser said, life wasn't meant to be easy. Working hard, working hard, and disappointment. And then finally what happens after all that, said and done, what do you get? The ma. The ma is the mrityu. What do you get? You just die. After all that, what do you got to look forward to? You die. Start all over again. So this is now someone can be like that in the Parvarga, or one may want to go to the Svarga. This Parvarga means entanglement and all this type of thing. Or one may want to go to the Svarga, which is, what's the Svarga? The heavenly planets. Oh, the prophet says here, life is thousands of times opulent. Thousands of times more opulent than here on earth. So there's many people, especially in India, they know, oh, I'll worship this deva or that deva. And, you know, please the demigoddess, the demigod. And in the next life, I'll be very pious, make the offering, and then I can go to the Svarga and enjoy more. Or if someone's really intelligent, then the Parvarga, the Svarga, and Apavarga. What is Apavarga, Siddharan? The liberation. You want to be liberated from all that. Liberated. You want to go back home, back to Godhead. This is the most intelligent position. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's called the Spotless Purana. It doesn't teach the path of material sense gratification, Pavriti Marga, no. How you can improve in the material, no. It teaches the path of detachment. Nivriti Marga. Nivriti Marga means detachment. You live in the world, you just do your duty. Don't be too attached. You're going to be disappointed. The more you get attached to things, things go wrong and then you suffer like anything. I've seen people just clam up completely. They get so resentful and so cynical, you know, because They've had so much disappointment in their life. Right? They've had so much disappointment. And in the material, it's understandable. It's full of disappointment. So, but people react to that by just becoming withdrawn within themselves or very, very depressed sort of person. But Prabhupada was very compassionate. He said, no, you don't have to be depressed. You can be very optimistic about life if you practice the spiritual life, if you practice the Christian consciousness. And it's very easy, it's very simple. Not a major drama. You don't have to, you know, have so many qualifications. The only qualification is you're very sincere and you're serious about it. If you're sincere and serious, then Krishna will help you, Guru will help you. Oh, so many Vaishnavas will help you. Become Krishna conscious. Become blissful. Even within the world. Don't become overly attached, just do your duty. Everything is temporary. You're a brahmachari. Yeah, it's temporary. Your grihastha, temporary, vanaprastha, sannyasa. So everything is temporary. Whatever vana you're in, whatever work you're doing is temporary. Even the whole life is just temporary. So why become overly attached? Don't. You're just going to cause yourself grief and suffering. Be detached and work in the world, but simultaneously cultivating Krishna consciousness, and at the end go back home to God. So this is the most very beautiful process, but people, they can't accept it. Why? Because they're just too attached. Some people are attached to suffering even. They like it. They like misery. They like talking about it, like being in it, like talking with others, get together and talk about the misery. Misery likes company, right? Isn't that saying? Misery likes company. You can, oh yeah. What happened to you? Oh yeah. It's horrible, isn't it? Well, that's really horrible. You just sit there wallowing in an ocean of misery. Oh, woe is me, why me? Even when something good happens, you just resort back to misery. Don't be like that. You have to be always enthusiastic and confident and positive. This is the statement of the Shastras. Shastras say like that. Be enthusiastic, be confident, be happy. I remember that song years ago that everyone was talking about. Was it just, what was it? What did he say? Something and be happy? Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. Well, you know, okay, that's easier said than done. We say chant and be happy. We don't say don't worry and be happy. Just we say chant. And it's like we've got that book, chant and be happy. This is actually how you can be happy. Don't worry. Oh, okay, don't worry. You just worry all the time. You worry about not worrying. Right? You can worry about not worrying. So, you know, that's just a material. Actually, someone told me that that man who did that song killed himself. Is that true? Someone told me that.
About a year after.
What?
About a year after the song came out.
About a year after. The man who sang that song, he killed himself. How much for his don't worry and be happy. Poor thing. We should have told him about chant and be happy. I want you to give him a Bhagavad Gita or something. Give him some japa beads. That's the way to be happy. Alright, I'll read this verse again. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material constructs, the lower species was rebirth amongst human beings. Any questions? Comments?
Do we have to work with that as materials?
No, well, that's a relative, I guess. But, Prabhupada, actually, in this particular section, I think it's in the Grihastha chapter on Grihastha. Prabhupada, or is it here? Or maybe in the second canon. But Prabhupada actually mentions that Grihastha shouldn't work so hard. You know, he said 8 hours a day is good. Like that, probably just to say 8 hours a day. But if you work, people are working these days. Everyone has like this is kind of myth of be self-employed and really get ahead. But actually, if you haven't got the nature for that, Vaishya type of activity, people are working 60, 80 hours a week. 80 hours a week. So Papa said, don't work so hard. Otherwise, where's the time for the spiritual life? You haven't got any time. You're working 80 hours a week, for example, which a lot of people do. How many is that a day? So you're working 7 days a week. That's 10 hours, 11 hours a day. It's quite common, isn't it? Yeah. Quite common. You're working like that, isn't it?
No.
In Kansas sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
But, it's like force of circumstance. People know they shouldn't be working like that. They need the money and everything's so expensive. It's just like, what can they do? They're trapped like rats in a system, right? That's why they call it the rat race. Right? The rat race. The rats get trapped. And they just run around all over the place, so they just can't get out. So they call it like that, the rat race. It's like running around. How do you get out? You can't. So, one thing, okay, people see these things. Well, what the heck are they going to do about them? They try this, they try that, nothing really works. And then they come across to Perth or something, and they're nice life. And then again it comes. In another way. Only if your Krishna consciousness is good. Right, any other question?
Can you earn, work more than it gives you karma to work?
Can you work more than?
Yeah, then it's your karma to work.
And your karma to work?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Yeah, it is. Yeah, one works hard because it's his karma to work hard. But, you know, you can change that. One would be put in situations that they'll be forced to work hard. That's karma. But you can change it by becoming Krishna conscious, and then you realise. That's the only way to really change it. So people work hard because of karma. They're meant to work hard. That's the way, that's the reaction. Can't get out. That's karma. Work hard. My father was like that. Work hard. One day he had went to bed feeling little tired. He died of a heart attack in the bed. Work hard all his life. So that's a lot of people like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, just on that point, I just kind of wanted to bring up another point. Like, I was reading one book, it wasn't a devotional one, but it was saying that how, in the same way that people were alcoholics, you know, in order to escape, you know, reality, there's also people called workaholics.
Workaholics.
People, you know, they become so absorbed in, I guess, just like externally being busy, that it's kind of like, I guess, it's due to like a life within, or, you know.
Their nature, isn't it?
Well, not even that, you know, like it's like, you know,
Prabhupada
said, you know, it's like, you know, this is a fallen, you know, like,
anxious
to serve Krishna, and I mean, in the absence of that knowledge, people feel so empty and unhappy, so.
Yeah.
Just like, you know,
oh,
they,
just
to
counteract that, you mean?
Yeah,
externally,
you know, they
think they're
busy, without actually, you know, even
materially
being introspective.
But even when they get like that, it's also
calmer.
Sorry?
Ignorance, really.
Yeah, it's an ignorance, but the situation where they're like that is a karma. They're ignorant and they try to combat it, and that's all karma coming out.
How much should we worry, Maharaj?
How much should you worry? The only thing we have to worry about is becoming Krishna conscious. That's a transcendental anxiety. Even you worry about it, it's good for you. Because the subject matter is Krishna. How am I going to become more Krishna conscious? That, you know, that, then that'll purify you. Yes.
Prabhupada presented the idea of a monarchy as he was still probably very powerful. But how should we try to present that in our preaching?
Yeah, well, we can present it. We shouldn't shy away from presenting it. I always present it. We're in favour of a true monarchy. They're not just, you know, like they have the referendum here in Australia in a monarchy or republic. You know, that was another thing, of course. But you know, being tied to England and that monarchy. But true monarchy means actually, you know, proper Rajarishis and like that whole system like that. There are examples in various countries in the world where it's still going on. I don't think that it's such a. Personally, I don't think it's so radical to sort of present that type of thing. Some people would think that. You know, hey, there's all sorts of ideas floating out there. Why can't we present ours? We're entitled to do that, aren't we? The socialists put their thing out, you know, get your socialist paper, you know, I've been doing that for years and everyone. Has so many different ideas, models, and so on and so forth. Prabhupada wanted that model, but yeah, we should push that. Why not? You know, if it's not possible in a bigger country, try in a smaller country. Yes.
How do we learn to be detached?
Detached. Well, you have to be attached to Krishna. When you're attached to Krishna, then you automatically, very naturally, become detached from the other things. You have to increase your attachment. To chanting and to reading Prabhupada's books, coming to the temple. When you come to the temple, see the deity, and you can associate with the devotees. When you come attached to associating with the devotees, seeing the deity, attached to chanting, then you don't have to worry really that much about being detached. You automatically, it will happen. Automatically. So I think just if you just concentrate on that, because if you just. If you're thinking that, oh, I want to be detached from this, detached from that, then actually become more attached. But don't worry about that. Just concentrate on Krishna. Jai, all glories to the Prabhupada ki, Jai, Gunitaya ki, Jai, go permanently.